This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
This is the Dairy Brothers Tribecast, a podcast for diehard Cleveland Indians fans, presented to you by WaitingForNextYear.com. Now, here are the hosts, Matt and Todd Dairy.
All right, folks, another week in the books, and here we go for a Monday. It's another edition of the Dairy Brothers Tribecast. Matt and Todd with you on WaitingForNextYear.com. Our sponsors, we love them, the Center for Advanced Dentistry, Dr. Ben Hornstein and his great crew, best dentists in the country, and of course, BreakingTea.com. You want T-shirts, you want gear, like the Styx Tristan McKenzie shirt I rocked yesterday at Comerica Park. You can get it at BreakingTea.com/dairy. Todd, what a day yesterday. Beautiful, sunny skies, hot day. Everybody in the city of Detroit ascending downtown to see Miguel Cabrera hit his 500th home run. Instead, they had to endure the Styx show. Man, what a performance on Sunday, and the Tribe takes another series.
Hey, I'm gonna kind of take a step back and let you talk about it because you were there in person. I watched it on television, and what we saw from Tristan McKenzie yesterday was just, you know what? Mad props to the kid, because at the beginning of this season, we saw a kid who came up, we saw some ability, but he was walking the park and he could never pitch more than five innings. It was usually no more than four innings. And since his demotion, I think it was in June. Do you remember he got demoted?
He got demoted twice.
He got demoted twice, but the first time they sent him down, and then there was another injury, so he had to come back up, and he pitched against the unnamed team. And he pitched really well, but then they sent him down again. And, you know, by all accounts, everybody says, Andre Knott said it on the broadcast yesterday, he's one of the nicest people in the game of baseball. So you got to be happy for the kid. He just, what we saw yesterday, though, was incredible. I thought he was going to throw the perfect game. I really did. When he got past the seventh, the 1-2-3, I'm like, he's going to do this here. I really thought it was going to happen, but ended up giving up the one hit. But the progress he's made is just incredible, and I'm super happy for him for now and for the future.
You know, I was a little harsh on him earlier in the year because I didn't like the body language. I didn't like, you know, he looks like he hasn't picked up a weight in his life, and you know, he got sent down, and it's like, let me go visit some friends in Akron and Lake County and not report yet. And it's like, dude, get to Columbus and get to work, you know? And from some of the sources that I've talked to around the team, it's like, how much is he working hard enough? Does he want to get better? Or does he just want to throw and, you know, and have the high velocity? And yesterday you saw it, and like you said, I was there with the misses and my buddy Mark, and then a guy from work that John, who's a great guy and big Tiger fan, but it was fine. He was hand selected, as you know. There's certain people I can't sit with at a game, and he fit the bill. But it was like, man, he was just mowing them down, and it was just electric. You know, the breaking stuff at the feet of the left-handed hitters that they could not hold up on, and guys were like golf swinging, was just sick. And you look up and you're right. I mean, every time Cabrera comes up, it's fans on their feet and it's tense and it's quiet and they want to see a 500th home run, which is a great accomplishment. You know, he's stuck on 499, and that's only 30 away from, or 50 away from the 449 different women that he dates. But I digress. But, you know, it's like, it's, It's just an, like, seventh inning when he struck him out with the high heat. It was just sick. And he was putting on a show, and the offense wakes up. I mean, you kind of knew when they scored six in the second and five in the third, they were probably done for the day, knowing our offense, Todd. But, man, it was just, it was awesome. What a great scene, and it was so fun. And I kind of knew he wasn't going to do it. I was pissed when Castro hit the single. It's like, oh, and you're just, it's like a gut punch. But I kind of had a feeling like, I don't know, was I really going to be there for that? Like, were we really going to have this?
Yeah, I really thought you were, because you were there for the Armando Galarraga.
I was.
Perfect game.
I was, that's true.
In 2010. And so I thought, I really did think it was going to happen when he got to the seventh. I thought the seventh was going to be where, you know, they got a hit because it was 1-2-3. Top of the order. But they had taken Robbie Grossman out of the game, strikes out the Robson kid. He struck out the, first of all, it's interesting because he struck out the side in the third, and then he really got into a groove. He struck out the side in the seventh with the top of the order, and I'm thinking, this is going to happen. This is really going to happen. And you know what?
I kind of knew. I'm like, is this really going to be a perfect, is this going to be the first time we see this since the you know, when I was eight, you were five, or I was seven, you were five at the time on that, you know, illustrious Saturday evening, May 15th, 1981, when we were watching the game on Channel 43, and Len Barker
plays
was
favorites.
That's right. Plays my soft favorites. But I wanted it for him. You know, you're counting it down. It's like you're texting me like six more, five more. I mean, it's like four more. But I just, you know, I just had this feeling like someone's going to, there's just so much room in that ballpark. Like how many bloop hits do the Indians have down the right field line yesterday? You know, it was like, I just had a feeling something was going to happen, but
started the game. It was Straw was the first inning.
They had
first,
a couple,
right?
Yeah.
First at bat, it was like a little blooper that dropped.
Boy, can he, boy, watching him run in person when Ahmed hit the triple. And watching Straw go first to home, that dude can fly. Whew.
I do want to come back to that, but just to, you know, keep going a little bit more on Tristan McKenzie. In August, you know, if you go back to the beginning of the year when we were talking about him as you know, the fifth starter basically, and you know, trying to figure stuff out, and you look at his numbers in terms of walking guys, okay? So in his starts in April, he walked 4 3⅔, 2 4 innings, 4 5 innings, and 4 4 innings. So it was 23 strikeouts and 14 walks in four starts in April. In May, he made six starts. He walked 21 guys in 25 innings. So 14 16 2/3 innings in April, 21 in 25 innings in May. And even, you know, he was basically made no appearances in June. July, it started to get much, much better. Six walks in 21 innings. But in this last three-start stretch in August, he's got 20 strikeouts and one walk in 21 innings pitched, which just shows the growth. I mean, it's incredible. Oh, yeah. And, you know, we were talking about this the other day. We haven't had a starting pitcher go 7 or 8 or 9 innings and seemingly, you know, into the eighth mostly and seemingly forever. When was the last time that an Indian starter went 8 innings this season?
Well, that's
do you remember? I don't think it's happened since Bieber got hurt.
I think you're probably right. I mean, Plesak was into the seventh. Was he into the seventh or the eighth the other night?
He was into the eighth, but they took him right.
I think Quantrill's been fantastic, but I don't think Cal has gotten into the eighth inning. No,
right. I'll look it up while you talk. But these guys, it's amazing because we've been so spoiled in the last few years by our starting pitching, and these guys all going 8, 7, 8, or even 9. And so this year, when everyone's going, you know, when they top out at 6, and these guys, you know, the relievers pitching so much, you know, but this, you know, this was, God, yesterday was fun to watch. And I'll tell you another thing, mad props to Austin Hedges. What? I don't care that he can't hit. I don't. He is so good back there. He's an unbelievable framer. How about some of these scoops he was making. He was short hopping some of these curveballs that were, you know.
the catch he made on the pop up behind home plate. He didn't see it at first. You know, I'm sitting, right behind him almost, like to the right. So I'm in between 29 rows up in section 124. So I'm in between hedges and the dugout. And he didn't see it at first. And all of a sudden he gets up, and that was a tough play. Like, you know, sometimes in these perfect games and no hitters, like even like the Mark Burley game where it was the Dwayne Wise catch. Do you remember that years ago?
Sure.
Alexei! Okay. dude, that play was awesome. You get some mad defense once in a while. And I'm with you on Hedges. I if he's hitting ninth in a pretty good lineup and he's giving you all he's giving you back there, because I've watched Wilson Ramos catch, okay? It's a train wreck. Did you watch it on Saturday night when the Tigers, the unnamed team, was running pretty much on every pitch?
Well, they knew.
Because he can't. He's not a good receiver. That's why that team released him. He can hit, be a great DH somewhere, but we have a DH.
Yep.
Who's, by the way, very struggling big time. But
ice cold.
But you're right on Hedges, you know. And then when he took it the other way, and the look, you know, Drew Hutchinson, like, get out of here. Like, you know, like, even in the first inning, like, we don't score. I'm like, we've got to get to this guy. You know, the unnamed team pushing Mize back to Tuesday to give the young guys some rest. You got to jump on 4A specials like that.
Well, we'll take it. By the way, Zach went 7 2/3 on Friday.
Got it. So, all right.
But before that, I've been looking and I've been trying to find a game where an Indian starter pitched 8 innings, and I'm struggling to find one. I think Friday, June 11th, Savali shut out. That's the last one. So they went, Savali pitched 8 innings and struck out 11, 0 earned runs in a 7-0 win over the Seattle Mariners. Jake Bowers, Seattle Mariners, who, by the way, I just looked at the standings. Did you know that they're 63-56? There's 7 games over that team.
The Mariners? I also think Bowers hits ninth. He, like, doesn't even – they DH him and he hits ninth. The last I looked,
he's lucky he's in the majors.
It's still a miracle. It's an absolute
strike.
Miracle. It's a good bit for a while.
It was a great bit. Not good. Great.
We got out of the car yesterday, and this guy walks by us in the parking lot. First of all, I was on edge, which – I know you're surprised, but
Hold on. Can we take a step back? I want to hear about yesterday, but I also want you to tell the listeners about your experience on Saturday night.
Let's go out on Saturday. It's an old Dice Clay bit. You know, he's back on tour, by the way.
Andrew, nice man.
Yes, back on tour. Would you pay to see Andrew Dice Clay?
You and I and Brian Agin went to see him at the the State Theater or one of those. Do you remember that?
Yeah, and it was really bad, wasn't it?
I thought it was. No,
did we have a great time? I thought we walked out of there.
I think it was great.
Really?
I remember it thinking it was great, but back then it was probably 1990.
It wasn't at the front row.
No, it was not. I wish. How about when Dad took us to see Laura Branigan at the front row?
First concert, baby. That's right.
All right, sorry. Go ahead.
That's always a great, like, dinner conversation with, like, other people. What was your first concert? Laura Branigan at the front row. What? You know?
Did you also go with me, and did we also go as a family to see Debbie Gibson at Blossom?
Yes. Yeah, we did.
Okay.
Oh,
yeah. All right. Okay. Yeah, I'll admit it. Electric Youth Tour?
Oh my God, my poor wife, all she wanted to do was see New Kids on the Block, and her dad got tickets to Starship instead. That's the greatest story of all time.
Starship.
Correct.
Oh, horrible.
She was furious. What were we talking about? Saturday night. Yeah. No, Saturday night I was at a grad party. And it was like in this hall, so they had, they had the TV on with the game on. It was a 6 o'clock start, so the TV was on above the bar, but it was like a real small TV. And then I was sitting at a table with some people that had the game on their phones. Like, they were hardcore Tiger people, or unnamed people.
Unnamed.
And so they want, you know, hey, when Mickey's up second this inning or whatever, so they would put the game on the phone. I could see the game well enough from where I was sitting at the bar. And then the inning where we had first and third no outs and didn't score, when Ramirez flied out and they didn't send Straw home on the sack fly.
That was first, yeah.
But, like, I'm just around all these people, and they're all, you know, diehards. And then, you know, one guy's like, is that Derry? I'm like, oh, God, here we go. And Heather's like, just behave, please. And I'm like, okay, I'm fine. So when Blake Parker beans Cabrera, the whole place, because you got half the people standing around the bar, then you had other people on their phones. Like, everybody stopped. At this grad party, I mean, it was a taco bar, a good food, drinks, a bunch of people, you know, distanced enough. It was good. They had the windows open, so it was good. But when Cabrera comes up, like, the whole world stops because they want to watch it, you know? And Blake Parker just beans him. So I just start laughing. And they're like, oh, and now everybody looks at me, you know? Like, I hit him. I didn't hit him. You know, and they're like, oh, man, that's weak sauce, and that's BS, and blah, blah. Who's this scrub pitcher?
Like, he was doing it on purpose.
And so finally, you know, I'm sitting there laughing, and I'm just nodding my head. And then, you know, this other guy's like, is it 53? I think it's part. Oh, 53. They should eject him. They should eject him. The guy's looking right at me. So I go, maybe they should move his fat ass off the plate. I go, that's what you get. That's what you get. Okay, so now I'm going firing back. All right. She's like, she's sitting next to me. My wife told me to calm down. Okay. It was great. It was so funny. Probably shouldn't have used that kind of tone and language, but it was, I'd had enough. You know, I'm not a Cabrera fan. I'm sorry. I you know, I respect him. The two best hitters I've ever seen live are Albert Bell and him. You know, they're scary good, but the guy's got two families. I'm sorry, I just don't. The guy spent the last 3 years taking months off the season. Like, yeah, I'm just going to sit out. My groin hurts, and like he just disappears. But this year, oh, he's healthy, all right. He's great in the clubhouse, all right. Of course he is. He's chasing 500 homers and 3,000 hits. Guy plays every day. Where was this the last 3 years? So anyway, whatever. Yeah, yesterday. What's that?
$32 million.
Two more years of it. And he can
he'll stick around to collect.
Heck yeah. Oh, for sure. when you're sending checks to Florida for the mistress and the two other kids, damn right you are.
That was my favorite when they kept showing his family and you texted back, which one?
It's true. Look it up at the Free Press. Teresa Baldas, Baldas. She did a great job. Flew down to Florida, jumped over fences to try to get into the subdivision where the mistress and the kids lived. It's all documented. People are like, why don't you get off Cabrera's case? Okay. I can't look past it. Sorry. I'm not perfect either, but, you know, sorry. Can I just read
one quick thing from the text? This was on Friday night.
Yeah.
Oh, this is what it says. This is when Miguel Cabrera came up, and I said $32 million for the next 2 years, and you wrote in big bold letters, "Sit down, fuckface," back to the dugout.
I just get fired.
Which one?
Anytime we strike. I didn't even use that kind of language yesterday. I just let out a giant yeah when they K'd him in the seventh. Because it was something on the line. I mean, you're talking perfect game on the line and 500 homers on the line and everybody standing. That was pretty cool. And props to the unnamed team's fans, man. They are first class. Some of them get on me on Twitter, and that's fine. But for the most part, you know, nobody bothers us. You know, I had my Stick shirt on. Heather had her Indian shirt on. Nobody bothers us. And they gave him a standing ovation after the Harold Castro hit and a standing ovation after the eighth inning. I thought that was pretty cool. Got to give them credit for it.
Yeah. You know. You know what? It was once again, I mean, I know yesterday was 11-0, but it was so nerve-wracking because of the Tristan McKenzie going for a perfect game. But once again, and again, this is me and you, most people aren't as hardcore as us, but Friday night's game was another nail biter. Saturday's game was a total nail biter. And it's like, we handed that game away Saturday. I felt like, oh my Lord.
Well, Friday night it was 7-2.
No, but it was still
but right, early, and then 7-4. But you're right, but still, Karinchak gives up. You're right. Why couldn't James just come into a 5-run game, get him 1-2-3, and we can relax? You're right.
Nunez
walk, and then Nunez homer, and now it's like, all right, base is clear, no outs, and it's a 3-run game. You're right. You're totally right.
But you know what? Friday night's game also the which can bring us into our next topic. So Friday afternoon comes across Twitter that Yu Chang and Logan Allen are being recalled. Harold goes on the DL, and I don't even remember what the other. Oh, they sent Francisco Perez back down, which we spent a nice quality chunk of time on him last week on the pod, and then he made one appearance and then was sent to AAA. That's another conversation for another time. So we see on Twitter they recall Yu Chang. And I lost it.
You did.
I did. I was so pissed. I'm like, you know what? How many more fucking times do we have to see this 4A guy come up and get at bats and not do anything? He's the most wonderful human being, one of the great guys that you'll ever want to find. Appreciative of everything that he has, being in the majors, always has a smile on his face, beautiful swing, great kid. He's not a good player. He's not. And we've seen this now for how many years?
I mean, and this year they've given him a lot of opportunities. I know that that was always
like
the drum.
For 2 months.
That was always the drum that was being beaten by a lot of the prospect people. And yeah. I like a lot of them. A lot of them do a great job. But a lot of them were saying, he needs at-bats. He needs plate appearances. I think this year we've seen enough to know that it's just not there. And with the amount of middle infielders that we already have and Owen Miller playing a ton of first base. And I'll tell you, Owen Miller hit the ball very hard yesterday, every at bat. So I don't know if that means it's coming and we'll see some magic from him and his average will go from 158 to 358. But I see more in Owen Miller than we see in Yu Chang. Although Friday night, Yu Chang, of course, it's a triple.
That's where I'm going with it. Hold on.
Sorry.
That's where I'm going with it. Don't ruin my story, Patty.
Steal my thunder?
Yeah.
First time, long time. Sorry to steal your thunder.
Yeah, so I go on this rant on Twitter, like, we've seen Yu Chang. You think about how long we've been discussing this guy. You remember he was in the vetoed trade for Jonathan Lucroy in 2016. He was. It was him, Greg Allen, Mejia, Francisco Mejia, and Sean Armstrong. We're going to go to Milwaukee for Jonathan Lucroy.
Sean Armstrong.
Who was just DFA'd by Baltimore this week, and also DFA'd by Baltimore this week, Adam Plutko.
Papa Plut. It's too bad about Papa, because he's such a great guy. But
the tribe will probably claim him.
You think? Bring him back?
Bring him back in the clubhouse. Hey, if Brian Shaw's still here. All right, but I digress. My whole point is I've seen enough of Yu Chang to know that he's not a player. This is all about developing the young guys and giving them a shot. I have been waiting to see Nolan Jones up here. I know some people say, oh, he's really not having, he's not having a great season. He's struggling in AAA. He's not, he hasn't been that bad. Number one, number two, you're playing Owen Miller at first base every single day. Who's not a first baseman. They were playing Jones at first base, you know, to teach him the ropes there. You have Bobby Bradley on the injured list. You have a corner outfield situation where you're basically playing Oscar Mercado and Bradley Zimmer basically every day now that Harold is injured. Would it kill them to bring up Nolan Jones for a week and see what happens? I just look up and I say to myself, how much more do I need to see of Yu Chang? Give Nolan Jones a week. Maybe he catches lightning in a bottle. Maybe he goes over 16 and you send him down. But just give me a week of him. Would it kill them? And then, of course, they put Yu Chang in the lineup that night. And I'm like, yeah, of course, Chang's playing first base. But he went three for four with two doubles and a homer.
You know, we had Ryan Mitchell, the voice of the Clippers, on about a month and a half ago. And when I asked him about who's ready, about fifth or sixth on the list was Nolan Jones. You know, he was talking about Jimenez. He was talking about Arias. He was talking about Clement.
Jimenez, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he talked about all those guys before Nolan Jones, and you know, It's not been a great year for Nolan. And, you know, if you listen to like guys like Justin Latta and others, when they say who's the top prospect on this team now going into 2022, it's probably Arias over Jones. So, and I think that too. We've seen enough of Andrés Giménez to know he's 22. You know, his at-bats have been better. I still don't know if he's swinging the bat the way they want him to. They got him playing second base with Rosario at short, which I'm against, but that's another story. But I don't, you know, I don't think we're going to see Nolan Jones for a while.
I don't think so either. If they didn't call him up now, and then you know the Indians' perspective says that Daniel Johnson's coming up again, to meet the team in Minnesota. So, you know, if they're going back to DJ again after knowing what we know about him the last time around, I don't know. You may be right. Maybe they give him a September call up like later in the season. But and you know what? The executive producer did bring up a good point, and he mentioned this a bunch of times. He's not for rushing prospects. He's like, you know, why are we going to ruin his confidence potentially? You know, he didn't play all of last year. He's learning the corner outfield. He's learning first base. Let's just keep him down there and let him figure it out.
Maybe there's a transparency thing here with the organization, which you hope is that the communication's open. And it's, listen, Nolan, I don't think we're probably not bringing you up this year, you know. So just stay there, go to the ballpark, do your routine, relax, and play. You know, because if he's thinking I might be on that shuttle, you play differently. I mean, look at Daniel Johnson. He's not lighting it up at Columbus either. But they do need to see what he has. But he's also 26 and has been at AAA a lot longer in terms of years than Nolan Jones has. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, you know, you're sitting at the game yesterday and one of my former students was there, came down to sit with me for an inning and was like, how many of these guys do you think on our team, he was talking about the unnamed team, will be on the team next year? And it's like, all right, well, you know, Grossman and Scope and Badu and Haas, like you're naming a lot of guys. Like, what about on our team? Straw, Reyes, Jose, Hedges, I guess. Who else? Who else is a lock to be on our team next year? Ahmed, I guess, also, but where are you playing him?
Well, Ahmed, unless they trade him because he has value and they have so many guys. So you can't really say that there's a guarantee that Ahmed's going to be right. I agree with you. You look at all of the lineup basically, you know, all weekend, and you're like, the only guys that you know are going to start in their current positions is Franmil will be the starting DH and Jose will be the starting third baseman. I don't think you have and then, you know, because we don't know about Roberto and his team option. Hedges will be on the team, but, you know, you just don't know. You're right. And there's so many question marks, and there's so many different guys. And, you know, Ernie Clement, you know, is he going to be, his first two major league home runs Friday night, same game, which is really cool.
It was awesome.
Happy for Ernie, your boy. But, you know, there's between Clement and Owen Miller and Giménez and Rosario and Arias. I mean, think about all these guys that are going to be either essentially major league ready to play up the middle, and how many guys are going to be, or even I'll even throw Chang in that mix. How many more guys are you going to have that are just the guy, that are average utility type players? We need more. I don't want to even go to you need someone who, you know, you're like Cesar Hernandez. Okay. We knew Cesar Hernandez was going to play lead off and play second base. He's not a star player, but he's a good, solid major league starter. We don't know what we have. The corner outfield I would say Straw. Let's put Straw in the mix. I think if Straw continues to play the way he's played,
he's the center fielder. He absolutely should
be.
He absolutely should be.
So basically, you don't know who your left and right fielders are going to be.
Correct.
You don't know who your shortstop and second baseman are going to be, your first baseman, and probably, well, I'll even say catcher. If it's not Perez, it's going to be Hedges. But that's a lot of question marks for a team, which, by the way, has five solid starting pitchers for next season.
That's the thing, is that you sit there in the stadium yesterday and you watch Tristan just blow the Tigers away, or the unnamed team away. And you think to yourself as you're sitting there in this hot sun, but it was a beautiful day, our rotation's set for next year. Because this fucking guy is mowing them down. Cal Quantrill's been balls. He's carried this staff for the last few months. Because when you're trotting out guys that you don't know, J.C. Mejia, is he going to get through the first inning? Eli Morgan, God bless him. Tomlin-esque. I know that's the oldest bit comparison ever, but can he get through five? Henches, in a bullpen game. The one guy you know is going to go six, go seven, maybe, but keep the other team at bay is Cal Quantrill. He pitched his ass off the other night against a very good A's team. We couldn't score. And we get swept, but he's the one guy that, boy, every fifth day, he's been awesome. So if you go Bieber, Savali, Plesac, Quantrill, and McKenzie, and then you've got some depth in case of injury, like Morgan. Who am I forgetting?
Cody Morris.
Maybe Cody Morris. Maybe
what about
Scott.
J.C. Mejia.
No, that ship is sailing away, unfortunately. You never know. I mean, he's only 24, but still, you have some depth there. And if you need a trade for a corner outfielder, I don't know what the free agent market looks like. We know what the free agent shortstop market looks like. That's all that anybody's talking about. I could name those off the top of my head with the, Seager and Story and Correa and Javi Baez and those guys, but as far as free agent outfielders and what's going to happen with the labor talks, if there's even going to be a season next year, what about Josh Naylor? There's a lot of guys, but none of them, like you said, are who's, where you go, these are definitely who guys that you're going to pencil in. We don't know. I mean, they've given Zimmer so many chances. They're, even yesterday, he let off the second inning with a double, and you're like, oh, man, Zimmer's coming around, but he's 28, 29. I mean, An occasional home run that goes 450 feet, and he hit a couple of great ones last weekend. But other than that, it's not like consistently is he going to be a guy for the future? I don't see that.
Well, you know what though, I will say this about Zimmer, and I've come around on this with him. I think he's a major league player, but he's a fourth or fifth outfielder. Like if we were the Atlanta Braves and our outfield was, what's his name? Acuna and
Ozuna.
Well, Ozuna's
right.
Never
suspended, but yeah.
But what's his name? He's on my team. Adam Duvall and,
Austin Riley.
Third baseman. Good player. But I think that Zimmer on a good team is a fourth or fifth outfielder. I think that he is, I think that he's a serviceable player.
Yeah, I don't think he's horrible. He's not horrible.
No, but he's got speed, he's got defense, and there's use for a guy as your fourth or fifth outfielder like him. I don't want him playing every day, but if he played twice a week or once a week and it was a pinch runner and late inning defensive replacement, I think you could live with that.
Yes,
I don't see
agreed.
That with Mercado the way I see it with Zimmer. You know what I mean? So I think that he does potentially have value on this roster. I mean, if your roster, let's say, was peak Eddie Rosario in left, solid Miles Straw in center field, and let's say all of a sudden you knew that Harold Ramirez was a regular every day, he hit 270 and hit 25 homers or whatever it was, I think you.
Wait, you mean Big Harold? You mean Big Harold?
I don't know who that is. No, but seriously, if Zimmer was your fourth or fifth guy and he was rotating in, then I would be fine with it. I would.
Looking it up, Bradley Zimmer's arbitration eligible next year, 2022.
Yeah, but it's not like he's going to make any money.
No, I know, but if they're viewing it financially, because hashtag Dolan's cheap. But if you're viewing it that way and you're looking at the. I mean, he's 28 years old. He'll be 29 in November.
All right. Well, I mean, listen, there are plenty of other guys like him, but my point is they're so heavily invested. Not heavily.
Yeah, invested. I'm just looking at it from
They put in the time and effort to make him into for years. So
his OPS is actually over 700. which you know is my big number. If your OPS is 700 or below, and I know Straw's is actually lower, but I'm taking Miles Straw over Bradley Zimmer. I'm sorry. And I know I read Zach Meisel and Jason Lloyd's piece the other day where Jason was kind of like, I'm not sold on Straw yet, but I am. I've watched him patrol center field, and he hits the ball hard. He doesn't strike out much. Zimmer strikes out a lot, although his numbers are down. Yes. But you know what I mean? Miles Straw to me is a ball player.
I agree.
And he can fly. And he can fly.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, the one thing I heard, you know, people were, Straw's a right-handed Zimmer. I disagree with that.
No,
I disagree with that. His at-bats are so much better.
Right,
I mean, truly.
Right. And that's what you want at the top of your order. But Dairy Brothers Tribecast on a Monday. Indians back at it tonight, 8 o'clock against the Twins. They'll play Monday, Tuesday, and then Wednesday afternoon, off day Thursday, and then the weekend against the Angels. Did you realize that Sunday's a Sunday night game in Williamsport? They're playing at the...
I didn't, because when I originally made the ticket schedule, because they're Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday night this weekend, but they're all in a row. We're playing the Angels on Friday night and Saturday night.
Well, it's Saturday. It's 4 o'clock Saturday.
Sorry, Saturday afternoon.
Yeah.
So I had no idea. I thought I had the tickets on Sunday. And then I looked in my schedule, and there were no tickets in there. It just, the Sunday didn't exist. I'm like, what's going on here? And then I noticed it was in Williamsport, which is fine. I'll be there Friday night with Brooke.
There you
I'll
go.
There.
She's back.
She wants to see Ohtani, baby.
Dude, I love the Angels. Joe Maddon's just leading him off now. It's like, screw it. Let's give him as many at-bats as possible. He's pitching on Wednesday here against the unnamed team, so he won't pitch.
Too bad.
Against the Indians, but...
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita!
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's talk a little bit about the Center for Advanced Dentistry. We got more to do. And breaking tea. What's the latest from Dr. Ben and Dr. Sean? What do they got going on?
You know, I want to give you a little background, Dr.
Please.
Sean. Let's change it up, okay? Listen, we all know that Dr. Ben Hornstein is America's finest dentist. But, you know, joining his practice now is Dr. Sean Schlissel, who's a Cleveland native and went to the Ohio State University, sorry, Jer, for his undergrad studies. After graduating from the University of Tennessee Dental School, he joined one of Nashville's most recognized cosmetic and general dental practices. There, he learned to perfect his craft as well as continue his education with the latest dental technologies and courses. He and his wife, Alexis, welcomed their daughter, Sylvia, and they when that happened, they knew it was time to leave Nashville and head back to Cleveland to be closer to their families.
What are you reading the game notes, Underwood? Jeez. My goodness, this is like in depth.
Hey, since 2 days ago, he's hitting .333. Yeah. So that's my favorite. Over the last three games, he's hitting .333 because that's necessary. Anyways,
book it with Sean Schlissel.
That's right. Listen, you should book it with Dr. Sean. You know, we live in a world that has been a crazy place lately. So he and the team at the Center for Advanced Dentistry, Dr. Ben, that is, want to assure you that they have been taking care of everything in a way that will make you feel comfortable at ease. As you know, they have refitted their dental rooms and have adapted safer and more efficient ways of providing care to meet all of their patients' needs. So go see Dr. Ben, go see Dr. Sean. And again, whether it is just for the dentistry or stay for a cup of coffee, talk some trad ball, do whatever you want to do. But do this. Go to CFAD.net. Check out those photos on the cover of Dr. Sean and Dr. Ben. Call them at 216-595-1710. Or again, check them out at CFAD.net. Tell them the Dairy Brothers sent you and get that smile reconstructed. Get those teeth cleaned at the most fun and relaxing atmosphere that you can find in Beechwood, right off the Sugar Boulevard exit. Center for Advanced Dentistry, 216-595-1710.
Yesterday, was rocking the Breaking Tee gear at the game to see our beloved Indians get the win, get the series win, and shove it in the faces of, hey, we're in second place, some of the Twitter Tiger fans. But, hey, I had my Tristan McKenzie Sticks shirt on thanks to our friends at BreakingTee.com. They've got everything. You're looking for a Guardians shirt? You're like, wait a minute. I'm ready to get new gear. They're changing the name. Let's do it. Well, you can get the Guard the Land shirt as well at BreakingTee.com/Derry. That's D-E-R-Y. That takes you right to the Cleveland collection. Game ended yesterday. We're taking our sweet time. It was a Sunday, walking out, and this guy walks up. He's like, hey, I love that shirt. I'm like, oh, thanks. He's like, that's my guy, McKenzie. I'm like, right. I'm like, go to BreakingTee.com/Derry. All right, I'll do it. That's where you get the gear. Jose Ramirez stuff, the Bieber shirt. The Bobby Bombs shirt when I almost wore that one just to support our buddy Bobby Bradley, who's on the IL, but had to rock the McKenzie shirt for the day he pitched, and it brought us good luck. If you're friends of fans of other teams, you want new Brown stuff, the new Nick Chubb shirt is out. Get it at BreakingTee.com/Derry, D-E-R-Y. Do the slash. Go there. That way it takes you right to all the Cleveland gear. So they're the best. The prices are good. And the gear is awesome. I was so comfortable in my shirt yesterday, sweating a little bit because it was hot, but I love the feel of all the shirts. Like I said, Todd's got a bunch of them. I've got a bunch of them. Go there now, BreakingTee.com/Derry. So, I was watching Friday, and, here comes Karen Chak to mop it up, and, Sandlin gets hurt. It's like, this poor bullpen, Todd, they've done such a great job all year, and they get not a lot of run support and everything else, but it's being held together by, like, it's Class A and, like, Band-Aids the rest of the season. I mean, let's be honest here, because poor James is not the same since the sticky stuff. Sandlin, I don't think, would come back this year, although they're saying it's just two weeks they're shutting him down with the shoulder.
I thought I read that more like, 3 to 4 weeks, but when we saw that injury happen against Oakland, and he immediately, his arm was dangling, I was like, this is bad. I thought it was an elbow, and now it's a shoulder. To me, you shut him down the rest of the year. Do not rush him back. He is going to be one of your top three guys for years to come. Why rush it back when the season doesn't? They're not making the playoffs, right? So I would shut them down. As for 99, poor James, please. I have zero sympathy for him.
He's not pitching well.
Not pitching well. He's been terrible for the last 2 months. Yes. And the only thing that I will give him a pass on is this. It's stupid. Tyler Glass, now of Tampa Bay, said it best. When they change the rules on the flight, it's going to cause major problems. And you can't just in the middle of the season say, oh, we're going to crack down on this stuff. It's so dumb. I mean, I saw yesterday when they cut the commercial, whoever the unnamed reliever was who came off, and the first thing they show him coming off, and the first thing he does is take his hat off and show his glove. It's so stupid. And who keeps it? I feel bad for him in the sense of, he needed that to be the pitcher he is, and now he doesn't have it, and he's not. So he's going to have to figure out how to adjust, and he clearly hasn't found that out yet. I want him to do well because he's on my team, and I'll leave it there.
you watch him. But, go ahead.
But the main issue without Sandlin is now, who's going to pitch in the high leverage situations to get to Manuel Clase? And I can't stomach watching Brian Shaw in these spots either. again, since the sticky stuff crackdown, I don't know if he was using it or not. His velocity's down. He's up with everything, and he's been getting destroyed. And it's again, Friday night, he came in, tie game, yada, yada, yada.
Saturday night.
Yes.
Well, you know, in his defense on Saturday, it was not it was a couple of, I mean, a couple of bloop hits. The pitch he made to Haas, I know he didn't, look, he came in and started the fire and obviously gave up a couple of runs and they lost, but here's the thing. It's like, you know, you put on the show sheet, like, why is Shaw still being used in high leverage situations? Who else do we have? Yes, when they got him out of spring training and he's hitting 97, 98, we're like, whoa, what do they do to this guy? And yes, the pitching factory is for real. I mean, what Carl Willis and Ruben Niebla and the folks down in the farm do is fantastic. And we're seeing that now with the next guy that could be Cody Morris, who's ascending through the organization. But, you know, with Shaw, I think he'll be back next year. I do.
Yeah.
I mean, but you know, who else do you want to use in these spots? Well, Blake Parker? I mean,
but that's the thing. Right now, you don't really have.
You know, Phil Maton's gone.
Right, and he was basically next in line. I mean, if you think about it, I mean that's the issue is there's not a lot. I mean, they tried Trevor Stephan, that didn't work. Whitgren actually has been pitching well lately.
Better,
I would see. I would rather watch him than Shaw. But it's basically right now your main setup guys are, you know, 99, Whitgren, Shaw, and Parker and Stephan. Right? Well, yeah. Am I forgetting someone?
Well, right now, like you said, Francisco Perez is brought up. He's back down. Logan Allen is on the roster as of now, but I think with Daniel Johnson coming up, and because our starters have gone pretty deep and we got some days off coming, I don't know if they need another arm in the bullpen right now.
What about Justin Garza?
Jay Jeezy? Yeah, he's been serviceable.
What about Alex Young, the left-hander?
He came in the other night and didn't do bad, actually. He was actually up, and he was the first guy up and throwing after McKenzie got gave up the hit yesterday. Alex Young got up, and he was actually throwing the ball up against, like, the wall. So you kind of hear, like, this booming sound. It was like a padded wall in the bullpen. I'm like, who the hell's that? And it was Alex Young was warming, but obviously with Class A not being pitched till since Tuesday, they wanted to give him some work yesterday.
Alex Young is going to be one of those guys in like 10 years, you're going to throw out the name. You remember Alex Young? And I was like, I have no idea who that is. That sounds fake.
It's possible. I would assume that that's what they would do is Daniel Johnson would come up and Logan Allen would go back down. Because you got Quantrill pitching tonight and, you know,
they'll go deep, and you still got Garza, who hadn't pitched. Did he pitch this weekend at all, Garza?
No, I don't think so, because Stephan pitched Saturday, and so did Whitgren and Parker and those guys. So no, Garza's fresh.
All right, so there you go.
But you know, that's,
what else do we have? We got anything else we got to cover? I'm trying to think. I think we got it all. I know the 17-0 game. I'm just. You know, I know there were some people very angry about that. You know, Dr. Borland not thrilled with the 17-0.
Dr. Borland,
Jeremy Bilski. They said I better hear some anger after that. This was the day after the 17-0 game.
Yeah, but we just won 11-0 yesterday.
Well, exactly. It's baseball. You turn the page. Momentum is only as good as the next day's starting pitcher.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, here, before we go, I would like to say one thing.
You want me to apologize to Ahmed Rosario again?
No, I'm not even going to go there.
He had a great weekend.
He did.
He's hitting the ball.
Every day Ahmed should be all over the diamond next year.
But not at shortstop.
Exactly, not shortstop. We've talked about that ad nauseum. I just want to say that I watched the Major League Baseball Field of Dreams game. It was so cool. I loved it. It just was an awesome, awesome thing. Fox did such a good job with the overhead shots and showing the different angles, and I thought it was shot beautifully. Joe Buck, I know, I don't understand why people don't like Joe Buck. I think he's awesome. Did a great job. It was just, the broadcast was great. The whole thing was great. The Yankees make that comeback only to to give up the you and I were texting with our friend Seth Forrest, who's a Yankee fan, and literally in between the top and bottom of the ninth, he texted us, Tim Anderson's going to hit a walk-off homer. This was before
the ninth. Called it. He called it.
It was unbelievable. It was pretty amazing. But that game was really great.
It was well done.
MLB gets shit on a lot,
yep,
and rightfully so, but I think they really did a great job here. It's one of the best things they've done in 50 years.
I mean, it was needed. It was a Thursday night. There was nothing else on. I know there was a little bit of preseason football for some out-of-market teams, and you know, the Steelers were playing if you wanted to watch that garbage. But let's be honest, it was really cool. It was. It wasn't a lot of pitching, and seeing the Yankees lose, even though it is the White Sox, was kind of fun. But no, they did a great job. Kevin Costner being a part of it. The only beef I have was it took me like a while to figure out when the game was.
Right. Same with me.
Like, you've got to promote
it. Tuesday, they started promoting it better.
I watch every Indians game, and I know that if I'm watching on my Fire Stick, so it's the app. Sometimes I don't see all the commercials, and they play like these promos instead. Not like when you're watching it on Bally's Sports Ohio or whatever. But to me, I would have promoted it more and better. But the game itself was fantastic, and they should do it every year. They should do a couple of them. Do one in May, do one in July, or one in June, one in August, whatever it is. And because that stadium is built, it's there. Give it some use. Now, don't overdo it. Don't overdo it, but ease it in to maybe a couple next summer, and you know, pick the teams. You know, let the Cubs play there. They got tons of fans in Iowa. They got to fix that blackout situation there. Can you imagine local, you know, local White Sox fans? Now, it wasn't blacked out because it was on Fox, but the argument is that these White Sox fans that live in Iowa finally get to watch the White Sox on their phones because the games are blacked out. Like, that's so stupid. Lift that crap. It's stupid. You know, so that's cool. I thought it was, I'm with you. I thought it was great. So we'll see what Sunday night looks like on ESPN, as the game is being played in Williamsport at the Little League World Series for the Indians and the Angels. I'm assuming people are gonna be like, why are these two teams playing? But at the time they figured Mike Trout and Ohtani and all that. But tonight, Todd, let's go over the pitching matchups. Cal Quantrill against the Twins, Griffin Jacks, the right-hander. Tomorrow, Eli Morgan and Bailey Ober. Have you heard of him?
Is he related to Ken Ober? The late Ken Ober?
Nor is he related to Ken Obergefell, I don't think.
There you go.
Michael Pineda and Zach Plesac on Wednesday afternoon at 1:10, noon Minnesota time. An off day on Thursday, finally. And then next weekend, Angels Friday night. I assume that because now there's a day off, they don't need to start Sam Henches. That Tristan McKenzie will pitch Friday night against Jaime Barria, the right-hander. We've blasted him before. Their first-round pick from last year, Reed Detmers, the lefty, is up and in their rotation. He'll go against Quantrill on Saturday. And then for Sunday night, Eli Morgan and lefty Jose Suarez. So a couple of lefties, all righties against the Twins, and then two lefties against the Angels. But like how the team battled back, I mean, 17-0 Thursday. And that series against the A's was gross. Just couldn't get a big hit. Relying on the pen. The pen blows it. Pitching to Jed Lowry, who just destroys us. And then to get clobbered. But to come back and take 2 out of 3, win the season series again from the unnamed team. We've beaten them the season series now 6 straight times. So, you know, put your second place tweets away. Who cares? You know, like, whatever. Don't get me started. But it's all good. Yesterday was sweet to be there, and we smoked them. And now, like you said, let's see what we got. Let's see what we got with some of these young guys.
Yeah. It was good because that Oakland series was painful. Those first two games, the leads in both, and Oakland just. That team just, it seems like every time, you know, they hit the walk-off off of Class A in Oakland earlier in the year. I think it was like a month ago or something. That team just.
That was right after the All-Star break.
Yeah. But it was a good bounce back, and I'm glad I'm glad for you that they took the series. Miggy didn't hit his 500th homer, and you were there for the Tristan McKenzie almost perfecto.
The Tribe, Miguel Cabrera was 2 for 15 this weekend against the Indians.
That's a shame.
Yeah, I know. Well, they attacked him. I loved it. They didn't just, you know, nitpick and everything else. I mean, the one time that they sort of were pitching him close was Shaw, and then he nearly hit it out down the right field line. But I'll tell you, there were some autograph and memorabilia slappies that I recognized that were, like, walking in yesterday and going right to right field. Like, adult guys with, like, you know, a bag with them, which you're not even supposed to bring in. I don't know how they got this bag in. There was one guy that was in with a bag. I don't know if he shoved it under his shirt or who knows how he got it in. But then, you know, you guys with all these baseball cards, they're not even real fans. These are like hired guns that if they get that ball, they're going to go in that back room with Cabrera later and tell him to sign 50 cards. It's crazy. All right, brother. Another week. Good one. And we'll see how this week goes.
Yes, sir.
Matt and Todd with you. Dairy Brothers Tribecast from waitingfornextyear.com. We'll see you next week.
Bruce Martin, host of Pit Pass Indy. Each week, I go behind the scenes of the NTT IndyCar Series and introduce our listeners to the biggest stars of IndyCar, which features the Indianapolis 500 as its cornerstone event. The men and women that compete in IndyCar may be the bravest athletes in all of sport, as danger lurks around every corner. They are able to look danger in the eye without flinching. That is why the NTT IndyCar Series features the best racing on the planet. Join me every week as we talk to the stars of IndyCar, including the legends of the Indianapolis 500, on Pit Pass Indy from Evergreen Podcasts.